The following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. It has been, well, not quite, but almost a year, really, since we've been dealing with the pandemic, COVID-19. We have lost. We have learned a lot when it comes to how to act, right? Well, today we're going to check in on how our kids are acting in schools. How are things going in that first semester? Are they learning? And are our teachers doing okay? Everybody healthy? Just a check-in. Just going to check in today with Elsie Arnson a bit later on to find out how our kids are doing. And then baseball! Oh, we're going to have baseball in Montana. That more ahead here today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483. Or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, Jimmy cracked corn and he doesn't care. It's Tom Schultz.
Where do you get this stuff, Josh?
Well, it is Business of Popping Corn Day.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay. All right. That one flies just barely.
Just barely.
But I do care, okay? If Jimmy's cracking corn.
You're going to care about
it. I want to care.
All right.
Yeah.
Now I want popcorn.
Okay. Hey, welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here. I hope your day is going good. We're midweek. And not only midweek, it's two decades strong working on three. That objective perspective. Voices of Montana, thank you for making us a part of your Montana morning. It's been a long time, and appreciate you joining us all across the state. I'm going to talk about, and I saw this report the other day from the governor's office. Actually, it came out on November 25th, and then the Office of Public Instruction released a statement regarding that as well. But it talked about additional funding for K-12 schools for COVID-19 safety measures. And it's sort of interesting when you think, you know, there's money out there that has to be spent by a certain time. I think that deadline is actually coming up at the end of the year that schools have. And then there's this additional fund of money here that doesn't necessarily have to be spent until I think it's 2021, sometime middle of the year. We'll get an update on that. But it caused me to think a little bit, you know, as they're giving additional funding to schools, how are the schools doing? Now, we're education oriented around here. At least we know the value of it, and we try to follow news, breaking news, and we try to check in on how our kids are doing in schools and our teachers and our parents, our administrators. And so we do it quite frequently. And I saw that and I thought, well, you know what? Let's check in with Elsie a bit later on. She's the superintendent of public instruction. 147,000 kids enrolled in over 800 schools from about 500 school districts in Montana. Those are big numbers. They really are. And, but we just send our little ones off to school in the morning, without thinking of those big numbers. What we want is for them to be safe. We want them to learn. We want them to, you know, not only learn academically, which is the key thing, but there are also lessons that you learn in those social settings in schools that are valuable that you can't learn if you are online. You're at home. And we've talked about that over the several months that COVID has been really forcing us to make all these changes and really gets in our face about a lot of things. Our schools is one of them. So we're going to check in here a bit later on with Elsie Arnson and find out kind of, maybe we don't know a ton yet. It's been 3 months. It's that first semester is not quite done, but it's coming up, to the holiday season. The kids will be getting out soon. How has the online learning gone? I have read reports, and we talked about this last year too, that online learning doesn't go over real well for kids for a lot of various reasons. And also there's inequality when it comes to education at home for a lot of kids. Some kids don't have the resources, a lot of the CARES money, and a lot of, frankly, businesses, and thank you businesses for pitching in. A lot of businesses have pitched in. One in particular, up along the High Line, to get kids computers and Nemont. I've tried to get them on, as a matter of fact. They've done some really good work along the High Lines in terms of getting kids the resources they need so that they can learn at home And they're just out there doing the right thing for the right reason. Again, that's Nemont up there along the High Line. And they've been real busy since then. They're not totally available to come and talk about all the good that they're doing, which tells you they're not doing it to talk about it. They're doing it for the right reason. Anyway, that's a plug for them, but they have done some good things up there. The point being, we're going to check in and find out how they're doing. And I know that there's some good news and maybe not some good news when it comes to that. There's been good news here, though, as we've looked this over the past year or so. When the minor league and Major League Baseball had been talking about maybe rearranging their agreement, and that has happened. There was some real concern that Major League Baseball, and they did that, for as a matter of fact. They, I wouldn't say disassociated themselves with some minor leagues, like the Pioneer League, which we love the minor league here. But as their contract negotiations came up, they had an opportunity to renegotiate and rewrite those contracts, which they did. The good news is we were worried about losing our minor league affiliations and our professional baseball in Montana. That seems to be continuing. Let's welcome Matt Ellis, who's vice president of the Missoula Paddleheads, a Pioneer League member, for such a long time. Matt, how you doing?
Hey, Tom. Good. I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. Good to hear from you. And I've been thinking about you guys. Matt and I go back a little ways. I lived in Missoula. I did some PA for the Missoula Osprey. Those were really fun times. A great organization, Matt. You guys have a great organization.
Well, you were a great public address announcer, I'll tell you. You're one of our best.
Oh, thank you. I still have dreams of doing it again someday. I'll get up there. It was so much fun. Last year, COVID-19 came on, and you were getting ready. I was thinking about you guys because you had just changed your name to the Missoula Paddleheads. You were going to launch this huge season, and then it was hurry up and wait, then wait and wait, and then no baseball. How did you guys weather that?
Well, it's been a rough 12 months. We had the announcement of our new logo, which was hugely successful, not only locally but statewide and actually across the country.
I saw that.
Seven international countries have ordered from us, so it's been pretty pretty awesome. And then to have the rug kind of pulled out with our opening, we just got uniforms in, and then we got announced that we were canceled for the summer, and we get it. COVID's been a very serious and important issue for the health of our communities, there was a silver lining. I mean, it forced us to change the way we think, and we did a bunch of events that were socially distanced and safe, using our playing surface with squares for movies and trivia and yoga, and it became a successful summer in that regard.
Oh, good.
I mean, it didn't make up for baseball, but it was great to engage the community, give back to the community. We did some partnerships that raised some money for some local nonprofits like the Roxy Theater that were shut down as well. So it became a rewarding summer in that regard. We were just fortunate to have ownership that stuck by us and kept us and was able to weather the storm.
Did you guys, are you encouraged? Is minor league or major or baseball, professional baseball in Montana, I guess we'll have to find a new way to call it. And I will talk about the details of this partner relationship, but were you guys not encouraged by the support that baseball got, not only from our congressional delegation, but folks from a broad swath, when the discussion said, "Hey, we came around to we might lose our minor league teams," people were going, "We want to have baseball in Montana." That had to be encouraging.
It was very encouraging. Senator Tester and Senator Daines both were instrumental. Senator Daines actually had regular conference calls with our three teams here in Montana. I know Senator Tester did a lot of work behind the scenes. Governor Bullock signed up and was a part of a governor's coalition across the country to save minor league baseball. So they all did their part. I know Mr. Gene Forty did the same thing, sent some letters, and was a part of a House effort. So it was very encouraging to see everybody step up and really sing our praises and our viability to the state of Montana, not only from an economic standpoint, but from a quality of life issue in terms of family and affordable entertainment that we provide.
And I think that's key too. Did you guys because baseball has its ardent fans, and then there are casual fans who like to go to a baseball game every now and again. They're not going to maybe buy season tickets, but they're going to want to get out and take advantage of that. And they're not just going to be from now. The Missoula is the Missoula Paddleheads, but you got Great Falls, you've got Billings.
Right.
But they come from all over. They come from Polson to take in a game in Missoula, or they'll come from Malta to go to a game in Great Falls. Or we're going to be in Great Falls. Let's catch a game. Do you think that you're going to see? What's the new fanship going to be like here now that you're not going to be completely associated with Major League Baseball?
I don't think it's going to change much at all. The quality of baseball is actually going to probably be better on the field. So
Okay. The
baseball fan, when they come, is going to be pleasantly surprised that they're going to be older. They're going to be a little less raw, like the players we've had in the past. So I think the baseball fan's going to get their share, their fill of baseball. And if anything, might give them a little more enjoyment in terms of predicting who's going to be the next guy to move up, because they're going to see guys when they're a little bit closer to the peak of their abilities versus so raw and undeveloped. But we're still the same company, Tom. I think all three teams in Montana would say the same thing, that we're an entertainment company that does baseball, and we're still appealing to everyone in the family unit in terms of whether it's cotton candy or the fun zone, or it's the giveaway of the baseball cap or the bobblehead, or it's the between inning contests that are enjoyable, the music we play between innings, whatever brings you the baseball. We're still that company that appeals to everybody, and it's baseball's always been one of those fabric sports in America that just brings families together, and we're going to continue to be that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, and I feel that is so true, and I'm looking forward to the still being able to catch some baseball with my dad or with my mom or whatever. It was really hard last year. Matt Ellis is with us. He's vice president of the Missoula Paddleheads. Before we kind of get into the X's and O's here of this new agreement, because I'm very curious about it, when you guys changed your name, I thought the Missoula Ospreys were not a bad name, Matt.
I know. You're one of the loyalists. I know that.
Yeah.
But, it ended up being hugely successful. We were told by some people some experts in the field that it was going to be like a J curve. We were going to get a little pushback at first, and then it was going to exponentially rise in terms of popularity. And, I'm happy to say that that's exactly what happened. And in fact, the dip was a lot shorter than what we were predicted to be. So, and I think part of that acceptance is that we took a statewide view, and, we incorporated the Montana state logo into our fishing logo with the moose fishing, fly fishing, and that's actually been the most popular hat that we sold. And then we've got the float logo with utilizing the river. We basically just made it very Montana. It was our entire logo set is representative of where we live and what Montana and Missoula is about. And so we're pretty excited about the reception. Even despite COVID, we did pretty well on the excitement level from people buying hats and gear and that kind of stuff. And despite not having a baseball season, it was the rebrand was very successful. We're just excited now that we've announced this, that we'll have a baseball season starting in May, and we'll be able to unveil the on-field uniforms and really have a proper inaugural game for the new Paddleheads brand.
Matt Ellis is with us. We'll continue our conversation here. Let's get into what this new partner agreement will look like with Major League Baseball for those teams in Montana that do provide a lot of entertainment for us, Great Falls, Missoula, and Billings, and maybe Helena will come back. Who knows? We are from Montana for Montana. We're back with more Voices of Montana with Matt Ellis in just a bit. Great fun to catch up with Matt Ellis, vice president of the Missoula Paddleheads. That is one of those minor league baseball teams, or the Pioneer League team in Montana, that had to survive last year where they canceled the minor league season. And now Major League Baseball has a new agreement with these teams. They bring a lot of entertainment. And that's not just baseball, as Matt had said. You look at they They see themselves as an entertainment venue. And, of course, entertainment has taken quite a hit as well with COVID-19. Matt, again, really appreciate your time here. We were chatting just off the air just briefly, and one of the things that you had said is to, you know, that baseball's alive and well. And I like to hear it that way because, as we had talked about, there were a lot of people that were concerned that it was going to go away, the Pioneer League. So what do we call – are you still going to be the Pioneer League? I know you're still the Paddleheads, but is it the Pioneer League? Are you Minor League? How do we refer to you guys now and talk about this relationship?
Yeah, well, we're still the Pioneer League for now. Okay. There's a lot of interest in our within our league members to do a rebrand, and I can see that happening, but – that hasn't been decided yet. So we're the Pioneer League for now. And the teams are the same, the eight same teams that were in it in 2019. And that includes Great Falls, Billings, and Missoula. So that's exciting. And we became, you know, Major League Baseball had made a decision that they were going to, for a lot of business reasons, reduce the number of players and teams in their minor league system. They felt they can streamline their business a little bit, so they announced they were going to eliminate short season baseball and just have four long season clubs and a complex team. And so that started this whole conversation. Of course, our agreement with minor league, with Major League Baseball as a minor leagues ended a couple of months ago. And we were just seeing that there's been it's basically a restructuring of how baseball's done and how it's looked at. And I'm real proud of our league. We stuck together. We were focused. We made a decision early on. We wanted to stay professional. We didn't want to go the collegiate route or the amateur route. So we made that decision, and we worked hard. And Major League Baseball was a willing partner to work out a new league arrangement called the Partner League. And it basically, there's still a lot of details to be figured out, and we feel like, you know, we're just excited that we're cemented to be a part of the player development system of Major League Baseball for the long haul.
Yeah, will that include any specific associations? I know that you guys have had a really good association with the Diamondbacks, and I know that as I read reports on it, Major League Baseball is going to be kind of footing the bill a little bit, and then putting in cameras or ways that they can still track progress of players.
Yeah, they're investing in our teams and in our markets and our league, which tells you how important our league will be to their player development. So we will be a part of the player development process. We will develop future major leaguers through this league. It's going to come from a variety of ways. The details of how the relationship specifically with major league teams has not been finalized. So I'm going to leave that alone today so I don't get in the way of any negotiations going on. But we definitely are going to have the ability to bring in, you know, players that either have been in the system with a major league club, are in the system with a major league club, or are undrafted. And because of the reducing of the number of rounds in a draft, will be available that would have normally been in a major league club. And that's all as a result of this gap that's been created by them reducing the number of teams they have for each of the major league clubs. I mean, that's 60 players for the entire league. So when you take 60 and multiply it by 30 teams, that's 1,800 players that are of quality that need a home. And we'll be filling that gap. And that's why Major League Baseball is so excited to do a deal with us. They realize the quality of our communities, our facilities, our league, and it's a good place to develop those players who are definitely major league prospects.
I see. And so that's why you say the quality of baseball is going to be better, because there is a larger pool now available. Will you have draft picks? And also, what about scheduling with not just teams in your league, but, you know, teams along the West Coast or teams in the Midwest?
Well, there's possibility. You know, Major League Baseball has talked about expansion on the Major League side for years, and you have to assume it's going to happen in the nearer future than the longer future. So when that happens, I think there's going to be more opportunities for teams on the West Coast like ours. Our league is really situated in a pretty advantageous spot. First of all, we bring baseball to rural America. You know, Montana's the state farthest away from any major league club. So, you know, we keep Major League Baseball alive and well in this state. And we're stewards of that, of the game in that regard. So, you know, we're also in great markets that support our teams, like Missoula, like Billings, like Great Falls. And then we have great facilities, especially, you know, we got brand new facilities in Missoula and Billings. Great Falls has done a lot of great upgrades in the past. So, you know, we offer a lot to Major League Baseball, to their clubs and to their players in the development process.
Yeah, yeah. And the facilities are really nice. I mean, it is a step above, and I'm so glad to see. How are the players going to get paid? And will this kind of open the door maybe for, you're going to have tryouts for, you know, college kids or whatever?
So we're going to stay professional. So any college player that's still got eligibility won't play in our league.
I see,
because
I see.
Of they don't want to lose their eligibility. So we're not a wood bat league or a collegiate baseball league, which was by choice. We wanted to stay professional. We want the player that has a chance to be in the big leagues. We want the quality of play to be as good as possible, and we've accomplished that. The nice thing about it is we are going to have more flexibility with our players. You know, yet to be seen how the relationship with Major League Baseball will work, but in the interim of that decision, we are definitely going to be able to sign our own players, sign our coaches, you know, make sure we have players that represent our communities in the way that we want them to do, that represent our core values on and off the field.
Nice.
It will allow us to do a lot more marketing. We'll have players that stick with us longer than we've had in the past, so we'll be able to actually create relationships with our fans and our communities through our players. And we're excited about that opportunity as well. So it's going to the quality of play is not going to change. It's actually going to get better. The guys are still going to be professional athletes who are on their way to the big leagues. But at the same time, we're going to have more flexibility and more control, which is just very nice.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to catch up with you as well. Let me just ask real quick, and maybe it's not a fair question, but the agreement, there's still some things to be worked out. Obviously, I don't think the league would have went into it unless it was something that could sustain over the long run.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the fact that Major League Baseball is investing in our teams and our communities and our facilities is a testament that we are a part of their plans long term. And I think that was a significant part of this discussion. They displayed their interest in seeing us be a part of the player development process. And how that shapes out as time goes on, we'll see. But I think we feel like this has got, you know, there's risk, no doubt. We've got more costs a little bit than what we've had in the past. But, you know, there's, you know, change happens, and, you know, Major League Baseball is decided that, you know, the way minor league baseball had been done for years, and it's affecting everybody, including the teams that are still in the 120 and will get licenses. The whole game is, the landscape's changed, the business has changed, and everybody's going to have to adjust and pivot to that. And I think our league did a great job of pivoting and come up with an agreement with Major League Baseball that helps sustain us for years.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that we'll be playing ball. It's Paddleheads, gopaddleheads.com. What's a paddlehead?
You know, it's a moose. And, you know, I don't know if you remember this, Tom, but we were in April. We were a couple of years ago in April, we were in Missoula, and we got an Amber Alert that there was a moose in downtown. And we were actually, when the Amber Alert came through, we were on a call trying to decide, you know, between like six different names, and Paddleheads was one of them. And when that Amber Alert came through, we were actually on this call talking about the name, and we realized that was a sign, and so we became the Paddleheads at that moment.
Well, the logo
was literally
cool.
A block away from the office.
I am going to go get me some Paddlehead gear. It looks too cool. Good luck to you, Matt. Thank you so much. Say hello to Taylor and all the folks there, okay?
I will. Thanks, Tom. We appreciate you. We're so happy that you're doing this show. It's a great show, and keep up the good work.
Oh, thanks, Matt. We'll check in one of these days. I know I will. I'm getting back up there soon and catching a game. Go Paddleheads. GoPaddleheads.com, Matt Ellis. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Vice President of the organization, Baseball Alive and Well in Montana.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483. And join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
You know, we keep a close eye on education around here. It's important to us. We know the value of it. I think all of us are Well, we all want what's best for our kids, and that's why we check in frequently regarding education. I'm Tom Schultz. Welcome back. Voices of Montana is from Montana for Montana. Let's see. Do I talk a little bit? We're doing open phones tomorrow, and I'm going to share some thoughts on a friend of mine who passed away recently, Mick Holine. That'll be coming up tomorrow. Also, got an email from a fan. Thank you for contacting me regarding this. And I saw this guy's name come up in an American Spectator story that I was reading at that same time. Just kind of a coincidence. But we'll talk tomorrow as we talk about election integrity. A guy named Colonel Phil Waldron, all right, 305th Military Intelligence in the past. That is upcoming tomorrow. Let's welcome Elsie Arnston, our superintendent of public instruction here. As I mentioned before the break, I want to talk about this final Corona relief funds that's been made available. They say it's the final, but there may be more funds. A deadline for spending that is December 31st, but there are also other coronavirus from the CARES Act relief funds that this was labeled the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief, or ESSER, as they say, funds, and those are good through October 31st of 2022. That kind of sets the stage, but mainly it's just checking in with our kids and seeing how they're doing. Elsie, good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, Tom, good morning. You know, it's a bright Wednesday all the way across our state, but I really appreciate your emphasis on our children, and putting our Montana students first has always been my first and foremost. And it is about education, regardless of that disruption that the virus has caused. And I very much appreciate that you talk about education, because that's the structure of all of our communities.
Yeah.
And in rural Montana, our schools are the heart of the community. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being so available to us, too. And I do know a few teachers, and I didn't call them in advance. And I was thinking, of course, they're going to be in class today, too. But I wanted to check in with them and just see how they're doing. It's hard for them to come on the air and or even talk very publicly about their kids. But when they talk to you, they're coming forward with reactions and classroom behavior and maybe solutions here and there. Over these last 3 months, what are teachers telling you that they have experienced and their kids have experienced in the last 3 months?
Well, thank you for that. You know, that individual relationship with the teacher and the classroom, and now more importantly, the families, because the families trying to get back to work, if there's closures in the community because of the virus, or if there's health challenges within the family unit itself, that all affects education and the delivery of education. So the teachers, you know, they're our heroes. They are the workers on the front lines. And at this point, they're being very resilient. We're in winter right now, so, you know, it's hard getting kids outside for that needed break. Even though we do have sunshine right now and we don't have as much white snow on the ground as we normally might have. But, you know, everybody is working very diligently and trying to go from one model where we're in school instruction to 2 weeks out. And so having that resilient teacher and, more important, that strong relationship of communication with the families. I think there has been more communication because of COVID between families, schools, and community than ever before. So that is a real positive that this virus has given us.
Are they dealing with behavioral issues? Are kids wearing the mask? Are they fidgeting with the mask? And I guess I'm thinking of, you know, first, second, and third graders when it's real hard to be attention focused for a very long time. Are there behavioral issues? And I know that there's going to be a certain amount, and that was to be expected. What's an update along that line?
You know, those are things that happen at that local level, and hopefully they don't rise to the state, and it's taken care of then within the classroom and the building, and of course with that strong relationship like I talked about with the families. But compliance measures with what the mandate of the mask has done, it's not just with our young people. It is throughout our entire communities. And I was just up in the Kalispell Flathead area, And there's a lot of angst about individuals that have possibly pre-existing conditions that cannot wear a mask. And those are our children as well. So we have our thumb at the state level looking at the child that is in special needs to make sure that they are embraced in an understanding of what those mandates look like and not have it interfere learning. And that traditional learning is challenged because of the mandates, but more so challenged because of the in and out of the remote delivery rather than having the traditional in-person learning that you and I and majority of our listeners here had education in the very beginning where we had that traditional model of classroom instruction.
You know, and this part of the problem, yes, and I've appreciated that, and that I think has helped me in you know, from a social standpoint. This pandemic is creating a difficult situation, I think, when you talk about kids learning online at home. You know, we have, as humans, and in Montana especially, a strong sense of community. And you build that strong sense of community by working together and by, you know, having and hacking through common goals, or so to speak, and in that classroom setting. How are teachers trying to build that sense of community in their small classroom with this kind of, I don't want to call it interruption, but challenge?
I'll just say it's been difficult. I know in talking to my cohorts, my teacher friends, as a teacher of 23 years there in Billings, you know, those people, like I said, they're trying to be so resilient. But school is more than just, you know, that math lesson and that math book or that reading or that novel. School is a community within itself. And because school activities have been stopped, they've been stymied by the virus and some other mandates that have happened, trying to keep those relationships forward at that local level, that's where it's at. It's not so much at my level at the state. I believe in local control. I believe in that community using resources that they have to be able to build that community spirit. But let's talk about mental health right now. We know that in that family unit, it's being challenged because the virus has affected all of family members, and it's affected everyone uniquely and differently. So that reflection on someone that's in a rural community where there is not great access to health care, but that has to be traveling elsewhere. But that containment of mental health, it shouldn't be on the teacher's plate.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we use our medical experts, because the teacher is not trained in those clinical diagnoses and shouldn't be. So it's been a challenge right now to our teaching force to try to understand in a vertical screen, is that student okay? Because when we embrace those students when they walk into our classroom, we know if there's been a challenge. And as teachers, you know, we are the ones that should first respond regarding that. And so it's been challenging. So we don't know what's going to come out after that. And giving supports that the federal government has given in the CARES dollars, and you remarked on, you know, the shelf life of them.
Yeah.
The governor's dollars has to be expended by the end of this year, December 30th. Well, goodness, and then the dollars that Congress gave the OPI has another 2 years of expenditures that can happen with it.
Yeah.
So it's a balance at that local level, and we're doing everything we can at the state level to ask for flexibilities so that things can occur in a semi-normal framework, but ensure that learning, a growth model of learning, can occur.
Going to take a short break, and I want to come back. Elsie Arnson is with us here, and kind of go into that a little bit. As you talked about the shelf life of those different funds, that makes budgeting a little more difficult, I think, or at least it's a different process in that regard. And then I do want to come back, too, because I know the American Legion of Montana has passed a resolution in support of a Stars and Stripes initiative. So I want to get that good news out here as we catch up on how our kids are doing pandemic 2020 as the year comes to a close. Elsie Arnson is with us here, Superintendent of Public Instruction. As I mentioned, she mentioned, a Montana public school teacher for 23 years, fifth and sixth grades. She's the daughter of two Montana public school teachers and also served in the Montana legislature for 12 years as well. Pretty well-rounded. 147,000 students in our Montana school system, including 800 schools and 500 school districts. Big numbers there. Elsie, welcome back. Thank you for being here. I'm Tom Schultz. School funding, the question is, and the first question is it meeting our unique pandemic needs? And then I think the second question is, I believe schools like a steady source of income. The federal funding comes in these big lump sums, some with strings tied to them, some with different deadlines, as we had talked about. Are we getting enough funding, and is it going in the right place, Elsie?
Thank you for that. You know, this is all brand new dollars. So through our office, we had $41 million that was given to us in May, and I got it out the door third week of June. The buckets that the dollars can flow into are very permeable and flexible. In other words, the federal government under the current administration said, be very flexible. It is about preparing, making sure that there's prevention of any kind of means with this virus. And it can fulfill a lot of needs that are in schools. Our shelf life goes all the way till 22, and that means then that we're very, very flexible with current budget numbers that come from the state, that also come from local taxpayers, and that also come from a general flow from the federal government. So the $41 million was given to us. It was brand new dollars. Now, the governor also received $1 billion from the congressional gift, and that came through Commerce. Ours came from Department of Education.
Okay.
And he most recently, and I'm so pleased that he gave $13 million just recently to schools for that prevention of the virus. All of these dollars of his, though, have to be spent within the next 30 days. And so we're going to be very careful and talking to our districts on moving, because moving his dollars and our dollars to help supplement what the taxpayer pays for.
Yeah, that seems like it's kind of maybe a bit of a trick, and you follow all the rules. But that money just released on November 25th, additional funding for schools from the Governor's CARES Act. You know, that has that short shelf life. So I imagine there's a little bit of shifting going on. But are they meeting, is that funding meeting the needs? I mean, if we're going to look back, and hopefully you guys will do this, have a reassessment of how we did and what we need to do better, what is that discussion going to look like?
Well, definitely. You know, the federal government, you know, is our master here, because the dollars weren't just necessarily free. There were strings that were attached. So by mid-January, we were having a conversation with the federal government on what the schools did do with the dollars. And because we don't want to add more monitoring, more compliance onto schools, because schools are about learning and teaching, but they are accountable for dollars, whether it is that current levied taxpayer dollar that before COVID happened, schools are still accountable to that tax base. So we're also accountable. So we'll know a little bit more from schools what has happened with the dollar flow that is in our care. The governor's dollars has the same amount of flexibilities, but they didn't have the same audible requirements. So it's not free. No dollar is ever free. It's very precious. But we want to make sure that it does help. The other part of this is we're coming on to a new legislative session with a new governor. And 30% of the legislature has churned between the House and the Senate of those 150 elected members. So we're coming forward with a very careful budget, and we're going to share with them what happened with the congressional dollars.
Good.
So they can further understand their community schools.
That's great. I appreciate that. I mean, information is really key, as you would know, Superintendent of Public Instruction. We've got 1 minute. Talk about the Stars and Stripes program, which the American Legion recently endorsed.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so fun to end on a very bright, patriotic moment.
Yeah.
We just redid our state standards. We have 12 teaching and learning standards that I house here at the state. And civics education was one of them. You know, my dad was an American history teacher, and so this is just an honor to all of us who understand and who want to understand our great government, that we lead in the world. So Stars and Stripes is a partnership with the American Legion, and I'm so excited, not just the state, but it has national recognition to put American flags, to put our Constitution in the hands of our children so they can understand who we were and who we are, so they can become educated Americans and be proud of our great country.
I think it's cool. You got to have a flag in the classroom and a Constitution around. Yep, go grab it over there and read it. If you want to know something about it, go grab it and read it.
Elsie, well, thank you for putting our Montana students first. So appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for doing the same. We'll talk to you again. Be well.
Thank you. You as well. Stay well. Bye-bye.
Elsie Arnson, thank you so much. Tomorrow, open phones. Josh Rath, our most excellent in-studio engineer, thank you. We will see you on Thursday.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.